Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recorder as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. There it is. Thanks a lot, Doc. Hey, going up on the Tuesday. Yep.
Time to make it do what it do.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Go.
America. Apologize, a little technical difficulties trying to get everything logged in, and it took a minute, but perseverance will always win out, man. So again, that's what we do every time we get ready to talk some Blog Talk. Y'all are cracking jokes. I'm over here like sweating, like, man, what's the problem? So it's all good, man. So, what we do, man. Here we go. We are ready to talk some sports with the 12th man. Anytime you see that I'm on with 5 minutes before, you should definitely know there's a problem too. So just FYI, don't, you know, that's one of those things too. So if something doesn't pop on or you don't hear that, you know, that's something that that's not that. No. I ain't got time for this, man.
That is good to know.
I'm trying to be serious, and y'all over here cracking jokes. I mean, literally, I'm over here sweating, like trying to get everything going and whatnot too, man. So it's all good. Sometimes Blog Talk does do that. You're trying to log out, trying different browsers, and making sure everything is good. Trying to log in. Anyway, it's all good. So anyway, let's get this party started as we always like to do. And on this great Tuesday, as I heard you guys are talking about on June 11th, let's talk some sports here. I'm your host always, Boy Dre. Let's connect with the other fellas, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. You know, I'm just messing with you. And plus, I'm a little tired. I'm a little punchy. You know, three parks in 4 days. I'm a little tired, but it was fantastic. It was a great trip. Got to see the Cubs and the Cardinals on Friday at Wrigley. Saw the Pirates and the Brewers on Sunday at Miller Park in Milwaukee. It was Yelich bobblehead day. And then Monday we saw the Nationals and the White Sox at Guaranteed Rate Field also in Chicago. So really good trip. Got to see three pretty good parks this weekend. And I'm ready to talk about these finals. How you
doing, bro? That. I'm doing good, man. Rob Ford, how you feeling this season, sir?
Man, couldn't feel any better. Time to make this show.
I was waiting for
the best on the
plan. Say something else, wasn't it? He felt like he was going to say something else, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. It's all good. Way to hold yourself, bro. Hey, again, let's throw out some numbers here for those that are reaching out. The numbers called to the show is always 424-243-9519 is the number. Call us on that. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us at Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Get this party started here. So without further ado, gentlemen, so let's get this party started. I'm not sure, like, I really think Blog Talk is really off because it's saying that there's 7 minutes up in the stream, and I know there's something wrong with that too because I set it for 60 minutes. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. If anything cuts off, we'll reconnect back in. I'm going to try to create another episode because it's acting a little funky right now. So, again, I know we'll talk to you guys, West Coast, get you guys started too as well too. So just a little FYI for that too. So let's get this party started. We're going to talk about a couple topics here. Right out the gate here, if you have not been watching the shot, almost like the shot heard around the world, obviously the injury that happened to Kevin Durant last night is pretty drastic. And, you know, obviously as Warriors fans and, you know, obviously to everyone, we were just kind of like, oh, my God, watching this because this has definitely affected everything that's happened on the NBA landscape. I'll kind of start this off and then I'll let we kind of pass around the table as we always like to do, because right now I really think that Kevin Durant was kind of I think there was a 50-50 shot of him staying with the Warriors, but I really do think that he, you know, was going to explore other options. You know, we heard about the Knicks, other options. And now I think because of this injury, I do think he's going to definitely sounds kind of weird because, you know, just kind of showing that how close that team is, which is definitely it's kind of crazy. And then I also think that also this is going to affect everything too, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it takes a year to actually recover. So there was a weird kind of like tie with Klay Thompson possibly not being there and you know, kind of exploring fridge markets. Now I think the Warriors can kind of like offer Klay, and then, you know, hey, we'll come back to KD, because now, again, KD's value has definitely dropped. I mean, again, you don't know how he's going to react to the injury. He's not going to be the same player, and obviously 75%, he's still going to be a good player, but he's not going to be the same dynamic player too, so you're not sure what type of player you're going to get after the injury too. So it's just kind of an interesting dynamic. You had teams clearing out cap space to actually make a run at Kevin Durant. That's scrapped. Now you know what's going to happen. Now you kind of think what's going to happen to Kyrie. He's going to go back to L.A. to play up with LeBron. I mean, there's so many different storylines, guys, and I got to say now, it definitely makes the NBA a little bit more interesting. So in that arena, it's going to be an interesting offseason, to say the least, too. So I'll let you guys talk about that. We'll kick it off with JQ, Rob, and then West Coast, as we always like to do. And again, guys, try to keep it brief because, again, I'm not sure what's happening with Frog Talk Radio right now, too. So go ahead and kick it off, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally altered the landscape of this NBA free agency as we thought we were going to see it happening. I'm with you. I mean, you talked about not being able to play until next June probably, you know, and I think Boogie came back a little bit earlier than that, and I think they held him back some where they could have let him play earlier, but they didn't. But if you're Kevin Durant, this is a player option, right? So he can opt in and basically just rehab with Golden State all year and kick free agency down the year for another year. I could really see that happening. You look around, if you're him, you're saying, okay, how do I get back to this point next year to where I can compete for a championship? Well, I can opt in. These guys can clearly make it probably to this point again, if we're being honest, if they re-sign Klay. And then I come back and I'm just a hero in the finals, or maybe in the Western Conference Finals, depending on how soon he has a surgery and how the rehab goes. So if you're Kevin Durant, I really think at this point he opts in, and that totally changes the landscape NBA free agency in the summer.
Yeah, you stole my thunder a little bit there, JQ. I was thinking actually the same thing. He may be more inclined to opt in because you know, he may be a little worried what he can get on the open market now with an Achilles injury. But there is a report out there that three teams are still interested in signing him to a long-term contract if he decides to opt out. But I still think it's a little bit of a gamble for Kevin Durant if he does that, where he, you know, still has a massive contract with the Warriors if he opts in. So it's going to be really intriguing to see what he does. But I think the opt-in is definitely in play now, which prior to last night it was not. And so it's going to be really interesting to see which route he decides to take. But the opt-in is definitely in play with Kevin Durant staying with the Warriors. You know, Andre mentioned Kyrie Irving. And, you know, a lot of rumors out there that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant was looking at Brooklyn together. And so is that still in play? I mean, is Kyrie Irving may not want to wait on Kevin Durant for a whole year. So what does he do? Does he still go to Brooklyn, or now does he decide to stay with Boston? So I think, you know, this what Brooklyn had planned may be going to disarray. And for Kyrie Irving, I mean, you got to think that, you know, him going back to Boston might be back in play again as well. Or he may look at somewhere going like the Lakers and play with LeBron.
Yeah, I'm trying to let them go so in case you get cut off.
Good.
Yeah, I got to echo everybody. The good news, excuse me, for us on talk radio is, boy, this free agent thing is going to be hot topics. There's a good possibility, because of what happened with Kevin Durant, nobody moves. Jimmy Butler stays where Jimmy Butler stays. Kyrie stays where Kyrie stays. Kawhi stays where he's going to stay. Kevin's going to stay where he's going to stay. I guess the only... I think the only thing we can count on is the boy in New Orleans. He's got to go somewhere. And that's going to be interesting. It looks like there's going to be three teams involved, maybe even four teams involved for the FDD Davis sweepstakes. And that's going to be hot topic. But, yeah, Kevin Durant, the first thing I thought when I saw that, I thought about how did Kobe Bryant do after he hurt his Achilles. But Kobe Bryant was older, and I think there's a big difference there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I think the smart money is for KD to stay right where he's at. But as far as Anthony Davis, I think that's going to just elevate his options, I think, anyway. I mean, he's going to have even more options because KD may be off the table for some teams. They may rather have Anthony Davis. He's healthy. He's ready to go. He's going to go right now. Or he will be.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I still think there's going to be some movement. You know, I don't think this Kevin Durant thing is going to stop the free agent movement. So, I mean, I think there's still going to be some movement out there. You got guys like Kemba Walker. I can't see him going back to the Hornets. You know, where does he go? I know the Knicks are interested. I know the Lakers are interested. I know Dallas Mavericks are interested in Kemba Walker. So there's still going to be some movement in free agent. Jimmy Butler, I think the Sixers are the favorite to keep him. I think he stays where he is. Kawhi Leonard, I think, is still an intriguing situation here. And, if they win a championship, does he leave? And, that puts Toronto back in consideration. I mean, do you leave a team after winning the championship? That's going to be tough. I know he has a home in San Diego where he went to college. He probably would love to get back to California. But, I mean, do you leave a team where you just won a championship? So I still think it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens this offseason from a free agency standpoint. I still think there will be some movement to take place, even with this Kevin Durant situation.
Yeah, and
we all agree
with that. He's fine.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah,
no, I was going to say what you said.
I think we're going to have the same movement. I think we're going to have those more second and third tier free agents move more than we see the first ones. I really think KD is going to opt in. It depends on what Toronto does. If Toronto folds, I think Kawhi is out. If Toronto wins, I think that's more inclination for him to stay in Toronto on maybe a 1 or 2 year deal, like Paul George signed with OKC to see how it plays out. But he doesn't lock himself in long term with Toronto. So for me, it's the KD. He is a domino effect piece. So if he stays, I agree with you, Rob. What does Kyrie do? I think Kyrie still, for whatever God knows reason, is just inclined to go to Brooklyn. They said he grew up as a Nets fan. He has bought a house in that area as well. So we'll see. But, I mean, it just changes the whole landscape of now you don't have a KD to pair up with if he decides to leave Golden State and goes to Team X. And for Kyrie, I just think he's burnt those bridges in Boston. I mean, you see those guys coming out, Terry Rozier going out on First Take talking about what happened in there. I just don't know if he can go back there. So I really think he's going to end up going probably to Brooklyn. I really do, but you know, I think we keep talking about this, but we may end up kicking that decision down the road. And I'm with you. I think Jimmy Butler, when you are Philadelphia, you make that trade. I think you had already made up your mind that we're going to offer Jimmy Butler the max deal. So he's still looking at Embiid and Simmons and saying, "Yeah, I'm going to stay here." So it's crazy that we were so ready to pounce on this free agency season with KD and how he would affect everything else with the dominoes, and now him getting hurt has changed all of that.
Yeah. Yep, it's been crazy too, and obviously it's tough because there's a thing that we talk about the hero being the villain in a lot of stories and everything like that too, and then it seems like now, whatever you can say, whatever your feelings about Kevin Durant were, now it does look like he can kind of like come back as the hero because before everything had happened and then him actually sacrificing to play. And I do think if the Warriors were ahead of that series, I don't think he would be forced to come back as fast as he did. Even though the doctor said he was cleared and stuff like that too. So now he comes back and then he suffers that. Now it's just, more devastating injury. So again, the whole landscape of the NBA has been changed. And I agree with you definitely, JQ, there's going to be small movements. But the big fish, like you said, everyone, he's not going to be there too. But again, we are going to talk about what's going to happen with Kyrie. We're going to talk about what's going to happen with Kawhi. A lot of big things have to happen, and it's going to be interesting as we continue to talk about the NBA. So right now, if you're the NBA, you're happy because now you are the talk of the sports world, man. So again, it's just kind of crazy that everything has happened the way that it's happened too. So let's keep this going here. Let's talk about are there any free agents that want to play with LeBron, JQ?
Well, I take this in two folds. Top-tier free agents, I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding that answer is a no. I honestly, as a Lakers fan, I really had no hope on getting Kyrie or KD or Kawhi coming to play with LeBron in L.A. I think their path to getting those guys around LeBron is twofold. One, they've got to win the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. They've got to find a way to facilitate a three-team trade in order to get him in there, either AD and as your backup plan, maybe Bradley Beal in the same kind of three-team trade with Washington. And then you got to find, you know, to get one of those second-tier free agents like a Kemba Walker, but not give him a max salary. I just don't think Kemba Walker is worth a max salary. Is he a good player? Yes, he is. But if you're talking about those trades that we do talk about with Anthony Davis and our Bradley Beal, I kind of feel like you're going to try to put Lonzo Ball in there at some point, even if you sweeten the offer with that fourth pick then this year's draft and move him. So then you have a hole at the point guard position. So I can see them going after Kemba and trying to also bring in Anthony Davis, and then you go that route of I've gotten – two stars where I got Anthony Davis that way. So where I got my top tier star in Anthony Davis by a trade, and I got a second tier star in Kemba Walker by a free agency. So I just don't think a top tier free agent that we talked about in that upper echelon is going to come to LA as a free agent. You got to get one in a trade, but then you can supplement that second one with one of those second tier free agents like a Kemba Walker. I think that's their best path.
Wow. Good, Rob.
Yeah.
I
agree.
I think
LeBron is going to get I think you're definitely going to see.
We got you,
I think you're definitely going to see the Lakers get a player here this offseason, at least one. Whether that be the trade with the Pelicans with Anthony Davis, whether that be a Kemba Walker, or whether that be a Kyrie Irving. I think the Lakers are definitely back in play, which, you know, I thought from maybe a month or so ago, I probably would have said no. But I think the Lakers are definitely back in play for getting at least one of those three type players that I mentioned, Anthony Davis, Kemba Walker, or Kyrie Irving. I think the Lakers are definitely in play for one of those three players. So I definitely think they will get someone. You know, just have to wait and see. I don't think they'll be in contention for a Klay Thompson. And even if Kevin Durant does decide to opt out, I don't think the Lakers are going to go in that direction. But I do think they're going to, you know, kick the tires and see what they can get in the Anthony Davis trade and also maybe look at a Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker.
All right, DeMarcus Cousins. Let's not forget about him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
West Coast, how are you?
Well, you know, with this, with this whole deal going on, do you really think that how much of a chance do you think that the Lakers have of getting Anthony Davis and how they've, you know, affected that whole deal with the Pelicans? Do you think the Pelicans will come back and say, hey, that deal that we had before, I want this, this, and this. Would they want to up that now that they've had some bad blood with the Lakers? What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, here's the deal here with that. Just like I said before the trading deadline, I think the same trade that the Lakers were offering then will still be on the table now. And that's why I wasn't in agreement with the Pelicans making that trade at that time. I think the same trade is available. It might even be a little bit better because now the Lakers have the fourth pick in the draft, which at that time it didn't look like they would have a pick that high in the draft. And also the Pelicans are looking to get a third team involved to also sweeten the pot as well.
Yep.
And so, I mean, I actually think things could look a little bit better in return for the Pelicans than what they had, you know, prior to the trading deadline.
And just to piggyback on that, I agree with that. And I think the Lakers getting the fourth pick, I don't think they necessarily want them because it's still a crapshoot, right? We have to pick the right guy. He has to come in and play well. You know, it's great to have that asset, but at some point that asset turns into a real person, and that real person has to produce. But so if you're talking about David Griffin and the bad blood, but now you have a different regime with Trajan Langdon and David Griffin. So if you got the fourth pick and you say, okay, now we got to offer them. Yeah, Dwayne Cash. And you talk about he said he wants another third team. I don't think that same trade the Lakers had on the table is what they want, and that's why they're insisting on getting another third team involved so they can get the maximum return, as they should if you're a Pelicans front office. I think it's a great move by David Griffin to trade Jalen, to be honest. But for the Lakers, now you're saying, okay, maybe we can hold on to one of these younger assets because we've got the fourth pick in the draft now, and they've got the first pick. So they come out of this, yeah, they give up Anthony Davis, but I don't know about how all the scenarios, but if they get, say, Kuzma or Ingram or both of them plus the fourth pick or Ball, two of those three plus the fourth pick plus something from another third team, and Anthony Davis who's going to the Lakers. Now you've gotten, you know, a couple of good young assets, and you have two of the top five picks in this draft. So them get moving to that fourth pick was monumental for the Lakers having, I guess, a rekindled kind of one-up in this trade scenario. So to answer your question, I think they have a better shot now that they won. They didn't win the draft lottery, but for them, they won the draft lottery, if you get my point, of getting the fourth pick in it. And you look at the Pelicans saying, man, we can have the first and the fourth pick in this draft. And if there's two guys that we say that we love and we know we can get them, that's still, if you know Anthony Davis is walking out a year from now anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that four pick, you know, I think is a little bit more valuable than people think, too. I know it's, everyone says a three-player draft, but I really like DeAndre Hunter from Virginia. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but I think he can be a really good player. And Darius Garland is another one to watch. He's a guy that got hurt but has tremendous potential. Point guard from Vanderbilt got hurt really early in the season. He's talking about a guy that can really stroke it, get to the basket, and he probably has more potential of any guy that could go in that fourth spot than anybody else in the draft. Obviously, he's coming off a major injury, but the potential is there for him to be a really elite player in the NBA.
How do you play him at Holiday
but
together, though? They both are, they're both point guards,
yeah,
really. So are you just going to go with both of them in the backcourt together? I'm sorry. I'm just wondering how that
works. Well, Gentry actually prefers playing Holiday at a two guard. I mean, he really does.
Okay.
And, you know, last year when the Pelicans went to the second round of the playoffs with Rondo,
yeah, they had Rondo.
He really prefers playing Holiday at the two guard spot. And this year, when Alfred Payton was healthy, they did the same thing. And so if they can have a quality point guard, he actually prefers playing Holiday at the two guard spot.
Okay.
West Coast, keep going. West Coast, you still there? West Coast?
West Coast.
Still with us?
West
what, what happened? What happened? Are they still with us?
Yeah. That is the big, it looks like it's LA or bust with the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. Where I want to go, you know, and what we're dealing up here in Portland and what L.A. does and what happens in Golden State, I have to come back to what we're trying to do here in Portland, Oregon. We feel like we're going to lose Enos Kanter here in Portland. We're not going to be able to pay him. I don't know how Enos Kanter might get some money somewhere from somebody. I don't think we're going to keep Curry. And we may not keep Rodney Hood. Those guys might be out there. I'm not getting any tea leaves on anybody trying to make the Portland team guys be in a three-way or four-way deal. But here in Portland, we don't feel like we're going to be able to sign those guys.
So if you had to pick one, we could sign one of them potentially. If you guys had to pick one of them, you were the GM for Portland, who would you pick? Would you take Kanter, Hood, or Seth?
Kanter all day. I don't think it's close.
Yep.
I know he don't play. Yeah, he don't play a ton of defense, but you can't teach size. And that boy can rebound. He can put the ball in the bucket. Kanter, no question. I feel like you can find a dude that is limited in other ways that can shoot the ball like a Steph Curry. And Rodney Hood, he just is so inconsistent that you don't know what you're going to get from him from time to time. You put a price tag on him, and if he falls, it must have come back in that range. God bless. If not, you let somebody else overpay for him. But you also look at those three guys look and say, how much success have you had anywhere else like this? that you had here with Portland when we made the Western Conference Finals. Maybe you can say that about Cantor and OKC. But for the rest of those guys, I mean, you get a taste of that and you want to go back to it. I mean, Hood, but he wasn't really the guy for Cleveland in any stretch of the imagination, right? So if I'm Portland, it's Cantor. I'm sorry. I think it's Cantor easily.
You're probably,
and that was my pick too.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, we're just agreeing with you. Yeah. Go ahead. We'll let you elaborate on that. Go ahead.
Well, I was also going to pick Cantor, you know, but the problem with what some of the people are saying here is, you know, Hood's a shooter. He can create a little bit, and we're weak at really that. Portland is. Our Achilles is at the forwards position, power forward and small forward.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only argument for maybe Rodney, small forward, I guess. But I like Cantor as well on that. What about you, Curtis?
Well, one thing that this finals that we're watching is blared out here in Portland, Oregon, is how bad – how we didn't measure up in the power forward, small forward, and, you know, compared to what Toronto's throwing at Golden State. If we had that kind of firepower in those forward positions, or at least one, we would have had a better run at them. And it these finals is showing a glaring weakness to what happened to Portland and being a swept like we got swept.
Go ahead, Jacob. No, I'm going to let you go real quickly, but if you resign Cantor, you don't necessarily always have to keep him. Or you say, okay, do we keep him and trade Zach Collins and try to fill that void? Because if you get Jokic back playing the way he can, and you get Zach Collins, you got Cantor. Now you got a three-headed monster at the 4 and 5, and you may have an odd man out, and it depends on how to divvy up the minutes. But if you say, okay, we've got those three, now we have a surplus, and you start making them run and going into next year, right? And somebody says, hey, I want that guy, and maybe you can fill that void by a trade because you re-sign Cantor, and you may not want to give up Zach Collins because he's younger, but he may be a trade tip that you can use to fill that spot. If you re-sign Cantor and you pair Cantor with Jokic at that 4 and 5 spot. So, I mean, it gives you more flexibility signing Cantor in order to make a move with Leonard and a Zach Collins and try to fill that void by a trade. I'm sorry, Dre, go ahead, bro.
No, we're on the same page, too. And like I said, too, if you're Portland, I mean, you got the two-headed monster at guard, man, so you definitely need that other third piece just in case, you know, one of them is off, if Lillard is off or McCollum is off, and, you know, obviously you got to have just a little extra firepower as well, too, man. I mean, hell, I'd love to see, like, Tobias Harris for you guys, something like that's kind of like pie in the sky, but something like just that extra piece to kind of get you guys a little something extra, too, you know, because obviously Cantor, you can't teach size. You know, little things that would probably help you guys out for sure, man. So, I mean, like I said, good call on that. I like how you guys remind me of Rob always throwing this stuff about Portland, which is great, and about LSU, too. So, it's all good. I got this whole thing.
Hey, this is
we got about 30.
Hang on. I got one more Anthony Davis trade. Pelicans get C.J. McCollum, Zach Collins, the Hornets first-round pick, and the Blazers' 25th pick. The Hornets get Evan Turner, Mo Heartless. The Blazers get Anthony Davis and Nick Batum back from the Hornets. I just read that on the So what do you think?
Anthony Davis goes to the Blazers?
Yeah. Anthony Davis to the Blazers.
With Nurkic and our rookie.
You guys get
y'all take
Pelicans
that chance
get,
on him? For 1 year, and you may not re-sign?
Move DJ McCollum. If he gets to play with these two guys up there, he'd re-sign. CJ McCollum, Zach Collins, and the Blazers first-round pick.
CJ McCollum is a good player, but I don't like that trade for the Pelicans because you're not getting a high draft pick in return.
That's the problem.
You got to get another 25th pick. What you want?
He's greedy.
Yeah,
you're getting CJ.
That's a transformational type player. You got to get some high draft picks in return on that. And that was the problem with the Lakers trade during the season, and that was the missing piece. Like I said, now with the fourth pick in the draft, you got to at least listen to him again now.
Yep.
Well, you're getting two first-round
picks.
You're getting the 12th from the Hornets and the 25th from the Blazers, and you already got the first. What do you want, five more first-round draft picks?
Hey, no. You got to get a pick in a top five of the draft if you're going to trade with one of these teams. You got to either get the Knicks third pick, you got to get the Lakers fourth pick, or you got to get multiple first-round picks from several teams.
Rob is trying to, like, throw Randy McMichael in. That reminds me of the trades back in the day. Hey, man, you were Randy McMichael. Say, come on, Rob. Back in the day, man. Hey,
not Randy McMichael. Wow.
Oh, man. I mean, he's always trying to
talk about fantasy trades.
He's always, hey, man, what about Randy McMichael? Come on, bro. And then he, like, and he waved him, man. It was hilarious. Hey, we got about 20-something minutes
I was more Randy McMichael when we have a deal.
He was trying hard, too. Hey, let's talk about, you know, the Raptors here. And, you know, a lot of interesting takes have been going on as far as the recap of the game. To Nick Nurse calling that timeout during Kawhi's run. Also, should have Kawhi, I think, in the last shot. And then we're also going to talk about his performance, too, man. So, you know, and do they have the edge, man? So I'm going to go ahead and start the lead off, and I'll go to the West Coast. Guys, be brief as always. I'm going to say that Kawhi, yeah, should have taken that last shot, man. I mean, obviously, you know, you got to put the ball in his hands. I mean, obviously, Lowry's playing good, but, you know, make him. You know, Kawhi's been doing his thing, man. So he should he's earned it, if you will. Nick Nurse, man, come on, bro. It is interesting to see that. I don't know if it's just one of those things. I don't know if he tried to overanalyze it and say, hey, man, I wanted to get some rest from our players. Those guys are on fire, man. So that was just the life that the Warriors. I think it actually backfired and helped the Warriors more than it helped, obviously, the Raptors.
Yep.
And then, you know, Kawhi's performance. I mean, like I said, again, I don't know how you like, you know, again, it's a great because, again, he's still doing his thing. But that's my thoughts on that, too. West Coast, I'll let you guys lead, and then we'll go to Rob and kind of reverse it back to JQ, too. So go ahead, West Coast. What are your thoughts about those three topics?
Well, I do think that, you know, Kawhi should have had the last shot. You know, he had the ball at the top of the key, and, you know, I would have drove in, hit a little shot, win the game, win the series, and be a champion.
True.
You pass the ball off, you know, it is what it is, you know. So it's now what, the game 6?
Game 6
in their house. And, you know, I was thinking, well, that was your shot. Now you've got to either win on the road and eliminate Golden State, you know, the best team in, you know, in the last.
Yeah, but if you've got a killer instinct, Golden State is really hurt. They are really hurt.
They are really wounded.
And this is, if you've got a killer instinct, this is when you get them. Looney's not going to play. Durant's not going to play. And they got... I know, but they're saying
he reacted. Right.
I've heard that today. Yeah, that
he
it doesn't look like he's going to make it unless he can play through the super pain he's going through. And maybe if they dope him up enough where he can't feel none of that pain,
he'll be out there,
yeah, flying like a kite.
Big shot.
I don't think he's going to be playing. And we know KD's not going to be playing. I don't think Cousins is 100%. I don't think Iguodala is 100%. And so Nick Nurse made a huge mistake with that timeout with the 4:13. Huge mistake when they were doing their run.
Yeah.
But now you learn. Hopefully you learn something. And if you learn something, then you go into game 6 with the idea you got a wounded animal and go ahead and put that wounded animal out of their misery. go ahead and kick him
easier
out.
Easier said than done. Easier said than done.
Yep.
Yes,
sir.
But I totally agree with that. As soon as
that
time out happens.
That
animal's going to
bite back, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The animal's going to bite back. That's the problem. I'm holding. I'm rooting for the. Yeah, you know, I'm rooting for Toronto. I want them to win. Be their first one. Be a. Where would you put that on upsets? You know, would you put that as one of the? What other upset would
it's
be?
Not,
would you put ahead of this one?
They're not fighting the. You know, they're not playing against the full complete team. I mean, yeah, they get the win, but again.
Agreed.
I think it's
still somewhat of an upset because this is a Golden State team that won a championship without Kevin Durant already. So I would still say it's somewhat of an upset. I just don't think it's a huge upset as it would have been that they would beat the team with Kevin Durant. But we still got to realize that the threesome of Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry won a championship already without Kevin Durant. And they won. They had a season where they won 73 games without a Kevin Durant. So I still say it's somewhat of an upset, but just not a huge upset. I would say it's more of an on the mild upset end, because like I said, this is still a threesome that have a title together already, and they still gonna be a tough out.
Game.
They're gonna still be a tough out. Golden State. I mean. I suspect Golden State will win Game 6 at home. As a matter of fact, in this series, the last four games, the road team have won. I don't know if you guys realize that. The last four games, the only time the home game is won in the series is Game 1 when Toronto won at home. The other four games, the road team has won. But I suspect Golden State will win at home this Thursday night, and we're going to go to Game 7. But I think Toronto, in the end, edges them and wins the series. And but I do think it's still going to be a mild upset because, like I said, it's still a championship team, even without Kevin Durant. And for them to be able to beat them, I think it's still somewhat of a mild upset. But, yeah, getting back to that timeout, as soon as this happened, I was wondering, like, what's Nick Nurse doing? You had a 6-point lead. You just stopped the momentum. And actually you gave Golden State an opportunity to reset his defense and to reset his game plan for stopping Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard got double teamed on that last shot. And it would have been tough for him to get that last shot off.
That was the right play.
I thought Toronto should have had better execution on the play, but it would have been tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they attacked Kawhi Leonard on that play. It was going to be hard for him to get the shot, but I thought Toronto could have had better ball movement to get it to the open man. It could have had better execution on the play, but I don't blame Kawhi Leonard for not taking that final shot. At all, based on the defense that Golden State had on him with the double team.
Yeah, and thank you. I was waiting on one of y'all to go. Wait, I was waiting on one of y'all to talk about it. It's two things. He compounded himself, and Nick Nurse, that is. One, calling a timeout. Hey, bro, this is the finals. I don't care how tired you think Kawhi is. You got a chance to close out. You got your foot on the champion's neck. You got to go ahead and break it. And you don't give them a chance to regroup on that timeout. That's the first thing. The second thing. His play that they ran, they made it so easy to double-team Kawhi and make him give the ball up. You give him the ball in the center of the court, coming just past half court. You don't run a screen for him at all to make them do any switching to do that. So he comes across, and they double-team straight up the middle, and he has to swing it around. Excuse me. That play that they called was atrocious. You touched on it a little bit, Robin. I just wanted to expound on that. You have to run a better play than that. If you run it from the side and you do some more screen and roll or pick and roll action in that play and make them do switching and maybe catch somebody slipping in transition trying to cover a man on that pick and roll, it makes it that much harder for Golden State. But when you do it in the middle of the freaking court and you allow Iguodala to come straight up the middle and trap him and double team him, you just didn't give him enough options to be able to even try to get to the hole because you eliminated driving straight to the basket by allowing Iguodala to be able to come trap him right in the center of the court. I was watching that like, what kind of play is that? So now you have to swing it around and you go to Cal freaking Lowry, who has been, perennially being a disappointment in the playoffs. And he's the guy that's going to take the last shot? Come on, Nick Nurse. He overdid it that with his thinking or whatever he had happening, one with the timeout and then with play or the non-play that he had called. That was really ridiculous. Kawhi was a house on fire You got to find a way to get him the ball in a more advantageous position to be able to get to the rim, and they didn't do him any justice. Now he has to answer questions about why he didn't take the last shot and when he was going to try to go on one of the best defenders that Golden State can throw at him that was trapping him and it was already getting help. Horrible, horrible execution and play calling by Nick Nurse, sorry. Horrible.
Nick Nurse.
Well, then that's coaching right there. That's that's coaching, and that was a bad play.
Rookie coach.
Yep.
I want to say this. I'm looking at this Toronto victory. I'm looking at it as it might be a one-off, like the Dallas when Dallas made that run, and Dallas. The best thing they did in that run was sweep the Lakers. And that was their big guy's hottest year. He was just tremendous that year. Nowitzki.
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk Nowitzki. Boy, he had an amazing year that year. But they beat the Miami team. They beat that Miami team. And then that Miami team went on to win two more championships after that loss. And that was a one-off for Dallas. And I'm kind of relating what I'm seeing here in Canada. I'm looking at the kind of the same parallels.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So where are you going with that?
Well, no, I'm saying, okay, when we were talking about upsets, I don't think the Dallas thing was an upset. That was their year.
Okay.
Yeah, that was their year. And now I'm looking at Toronto as this being their year, and I'm not expecting them to have a three-year run at the championship. I'm not expecting them to get back there next year, but I am expecting Golden State to get there back there next year, and not Toronto.
Gotcha. All right. All good. I had to clarify. That's what I'm saying too. So, all right. But I will say this: in spite of everything that we're talking about too, and I think everyone has hit on it. You know, from Rob to JQ to Gary, everyone has said that, you know, it's not going to be an easy win no matter what. So for them to literally pry this championship from Golden State's not going to give it up. There's been a lot of interesting scenarios too, because they are definitely battle tested, if you will. And then we talked about some rookie mistakes, and hopefully, you know, Nick Nurse will get over this. But again, I don't think Golden State's going to lay down. Now they've kind of taken a little hit as far as what's happening with KD, obviously emotionally. They're kind of drained, and then now they're going to use it as a rallying cry. I don't know how much successful they're going to be, but again, you know, they are the champs, and they have the heart. So you're going to have to like literally take it from them too. So again, that's why it's interesting to see, like, you know, that's good, interesting thought about, isn't it, upset? Because again, you know, they're kind of wounded, but they are still, you know, the champs. They still got to do a lot of things to get over that too. So that's kind of my thoughts on that too. All right. We got about 13 minutes here. I was able to fix the show too. So the good news is that we'll talk again after some scares. We're still ripping and running here. So I do want to talk about anything else you guys want to talk about with the playoffs. If there's anything else you want to discuss, I definitely do want to say that as far as the injury, I think we talked about KD staying with the Warriors after this injury. And I know, like we said, there's no one really knows. I mean, everyone's going to speculate what's going to happen. There's a couple options. I do know it does affect everything, because I do think if KD was healthy, obviously the Warriors would try to offer him the max, and that would have affected, you know, Klay, because I think Klay had opportunity to test the free agency market. But now because of this, I think, again, he's probably going to stay with Golden State. It is going to affect everything that's happened with that. I will say something about Boogie, because and you mentioned it too earlier, JQ, that Boogie may have came back too quickly. And it sucks, because I think this is an opportunity for Boogie to kind of say his value to the team, because he could have literally stepped up a little bit more and kind of in the dude, but I don't think he's quite yet healed from that too. But again, I was telling also Marcia, I was like, hey, here's Boogie's opportunity to, like, man, be the guy, man. I mean, and obviously, you know, he's just playing a pretty good guy in Marc Gasol, but it's kind of a little disappointing, but maybe he's not yet fully healed because, again, I was like, dude, this is your time to prove why they got you, man. So I don't know. That's my thoughts about that too. So we got about 11 minutes. I don't know if you guys want to talk about anything else, and then we'll kind of switch gears and talk some baseball fuel too. So, yeah, go ahead, guys. You know, JQ, Rob, and West Coast on that point.
Well, not so much more about the finals. I think we kind of beat that one to death. I think we all understand what's happened with Nick Nurse and Katie's injury. And the free agency piece, I wondered that piece that he put in there, the David Ortiz piece is just, it's just horrendous. And you got to get to a point where you just can't go back home all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you want to do good for your country, for your hood, but sometimes, you know, it's always going to be people there that want to treat you bad and do bad by you. And unless you're rolling with a presidential security kind of rise, you just can't go back, man. And I don't necessarily blame him because I know his heart's in the right place. I just hope he learns from it and says that, you know, I kind of have to maybe send some help down there from afar and kind of keep tabs on it, but I can't be that guy there. That's a punk move by that guy to jump off the motorcycle and shoot him in the back. I mean, that's a pure punk move. And I don't like the Red Sox by any stretch of the imagination, but I like David Ortiz. He seems like a genuinely good dude that wants to do well by people. So our prayers and thoughts are with him for sure as he has gone through the second surgery and is up now. I think he took his first step since surgery today. That he progresses and get back to who he was, you know, just, you know, from a physical standpoint. But my word, I just, you know, we just talked about Nipsey Hussle. We talked about David Ortiz. Now you just can't always go back to your hood. You sometimes just have to be able to help your hood from afar. And I hope he has his wife and some of his friends in his ear and says, man, this is a wake-up call. You survived. Keep doing what you do for him, but you got to look more out for yourself because not everybody loves Big Poppy like you think that they do. But I really do hope that he continues to progress and gets himself back in line. And, you know, thoughts and prayers are definitely with him. That was really shocking and sad to see and hear, you know, the video and all the testimony and the reporting that came out of that. So prayers to David Ortiz. Hope you make it back, bro, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally echo that. And definitely have to be careful. I mean, there's been a rash of killings in Dominican Republic here, even prior to this incident happening. So I know it's your home country, but it's also a situation where you have to be careful and be aware of your surroundings and things of that nature. And, you know, as JQ mentioned, I'm not a Red Sox fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought it was classy of them to send their team playing down there to pick Ortiz up
right,
to bring him back to Boston to get help, you know, to get help and the proper health care and things of that nature. So I do think that was a classy situation, you know, of what they did. So kudos to the organization. But most of all, obviously, continue to send our prayers up for Dave Ortiz and hope he's going to be okay, and which it seems like he will be going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that, you know, big, of course, Boston, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, so. Boston's one of those teams that
you're right. One thing we haven't counted.
You know, I just don't like. But, you know, I had an opportunity, you know, in spring training to, you know, sit at a dining room table with Big Poppy. What a nice guy.
Wow.
I wish him the best. I hope that he has a speedy recovery. You know, that's one thing about these baseball guys, you know, once they take their uniform off, they're all just buddies, you know, and it's pretty cool to see because as fans, you know, we don't like Boston, they don't like us, and you know whoever the rivals are, you know, but when these players, when they take their uniforms off and they're just, you know, just like us, you know, they've got friends all over that. That's those are their coworkers, you know, those are their people that are in their same trade. And it was nice to see these, and shocking too to see all these Boston players of those great Boston teams with all of the, you know, Yankee players and of the great
emotion.
Yankee teams. You know, sitting in this dining room and he's one big dude, Big Poppy. He's thick and he is wide too. He's just white as a refrigerator. You know, he's a massive man. Great guy, though. Very nice. Very nice. So I wish him the best.
If you saw Pedro Martinez talking about him on MLB Network, you know, just crying, and Jason Veritek, they interviewed him in the clubhouse, you know, when you take all the other stuff and you strip it away and you start talking about a man and what's happened to him, and you get that raw emotion from guys talking to him about what he's meant to him, and you see the emotion overcome them, it lets you know what kind of guy that dude is. It goes beyond the championships and everything else. It goes about, you know, personal human-to-human kind of contact and relationships. And you see those guys, you know, talk about him and wax poetically about him and really get choked up about what happened to him. It lets you know it's not fake. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like when I watch him, I feel like he was a good guy. To your story, you say he's a good guy, having talked to him. You see these guys just fighting back tears, trying to talk about what he means to them and hoping that he gets better. So I echo all those sentiments. I just hope that he gets well and he's able to take something out of it, that he's got to maybe tweak some of his, you know, the way his dealings, but that's in no way, shape, or form his fault. And I don't want to come off that way. It is not his fault. But he's got to take something away from it that I just can't be right in ground zero all the time. I just want him to be back to health and continue to do the good work that he was doing beforehand.
Yes. And I echo all you guys. The Dominican Republic, it's amazing how some places around the world and even some of our cities in this country have these kind of problems with these kind of criminals that, you know, it doesn't make any of us happy. It's not a great life when you got to worry about idiots out here doing damage to your hopes and dreams. And from what I hear, and from what Gary's telling me, and from what it looked like, this was a guy that enjoyed baseball. He enjoyed life. He enjoyed being the big poppy. He enjoyed being the hero for baseball. And like it or not, in those World Series, we all watch and we all enjoy and we all remember the moments of his greatness. And to see that get shot down is just horrendous. And unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've had the opportunity to travel to the Dominican Republic twice. And, you know, every time you go there, they want you to stay on your property. And which, you know, a lot of the properties are resorts and things of that nature. But if you venture off the property, they recommend you go with some kind of tour group or something like that. So it has its issues. I mean, but it's obviously still a fun place to go to and visit.
Absolutely it is,
And just to wrap things up, too, just to kind of, like, put a nail on everything, too, it's, like, it's interesting because we talk about how certain things kind of transcend sports, and this is definitely one of the situations, too, because, again, you talked about, you know, we get upset whenever certain players and different teams, and it's a brotherhood, I think, across – if you were playing in sports, you know about that whole thing as far as what's happening. And, you know, we look at the jerseys, and they look at the person underneath the jerseys, man. So, again, that's just something that I'll always take from that perspective, too, whenever – we've seen players go back and forth between the Saints and the Falcons, and you're like, man, I hate that player, but then they're going to play for the Saints or vice versa. And you realize it doesn't really matter to them. They're like, hey, who's going to pay me? He's going to pay me, you know? So that's kind of like – kind of makes you think a little differently about players, too, and kind of where they come from their perspective, too. So I always think about Johnny Damon whenever Johnny Damon used to play for the Red Sox, and all of a sudden he goes and plays for the Yankees. You know, you're like, what? What just happened? You know, the whole thing, because they actually respect each other. They respect, you know,
it
hey, either an organization or – yeah, but what do you say, Rob?
He just came to a sense.
Oh, God.
There you go. Hey, 2 minutes, Rob. That's the OT portion, man. Let's wrap this up, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. This will wrap up our live. This will wrap up the live portion of our show. We're getting ready to go into the OT portion of the show. We're probably going to have a little bit more baseball and NBA. We're going to have a short OT portion on tonight. We're going to be back on next week. We're going to be back on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, that's going to be June 19th. That's going to be the night before the NBA draft. So we'll get you ready for the NBA draft, and we'll recap the NBA finals all on that particular night. Once again, it's going to be next Wednesday, June 19th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss us. And then once again, click on the same link on tomorrow, and you'll get the rest of the show, our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you that portion of our show live. Thank you, and great night.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all for listening to it and listening to us talk about the finals and what's happening with Dave, with Big Poppy. I hope you guys up the front. We were trying to say that transcend sports. A lot of times, you know, it's just these guys are humans and they're just people just like the rest of us. They may be a little richer than us, but they're still people nonetheless. So when you think about them and you start shaping your opinions, you know, take some of these little snapshots of these conversations we're having and what you see about what we're talking about and kind of ingest that and internalize and kind of change your way of thinking somewhat, because Dre is absolutely right. Those guys are trying to get paid. There's a brotherhood of it. We sometimes, fans are short for fanatics. We take it way too seriously and way too far. So kind of rein it back a little bit in. Don't let your hatred detract from what's happened to this man and keep him in your thoughts and prayers. So please listen to the OT portion and download it tomorrow, and we'll see you next Wednesday. And it's my fault. I'm sorry. I got to go away on business for like the first time in forever. So I've got to be able to do this show next Wednesday. So please bear with us. We'll go back to a regular schedule here in the next couple of weeks. And we love you guys. Appreciate y'all listening to the show, and we'll holler at you later.
You get one shot of that, JQ. That's all you get, bro. No, it's all good, man. We're having good times, man. Woo! All right, we are officially in the OT portion. And I think, fellas, like I said, I think we've definitely talked about a lot of topics here. So I think the final topic that we can discuss is definitely talking more or less regarding Craig Kimball here. And I don't know, is this who's calling in? Is this somebody else? Is this Rob? Rob, you still on? Did he drop? Okay, yeah, Rob dropped. Okay, cool. There it is. Okay.
I'm back on.
Okay. Ooh. Is that you? Is that the 713 number? Is that you?
That's me. I'm back on.
Okay, cool. That was kind of weird. I thought that was kind of... All right, anyway, we're just kind of really going to wrap up this last topic here, talking about Craig Kimball, and does he close the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers? So, JQ, I'll let you kind of talk about that, and everyone else can follow in as we always talk about. So, go ahead there, JQ.
Yeah, I think so, because if you look at that Cubs team, you say, well, where are the pressure points for them if they have to play in the postseason coming up? Where are their pressure points? And it was most definitely in that bullpen. Strope is not the guy that you're looking for to come in and close it out. So now if you're talking about bringing in a guy like Craig Kimbrell, who to me is if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, he's a second ballot Hall of Famer. And you can look at his numbers and you can come back and talk to me about it. But I think he's there in that conversation. A little shocked that, you know, I think he really wanted to come back to Atlanta, but it didn't work out. They went with the Keiko route, which I get because they needed more starting pitching. They can bring some of those young guys, you know, like they do for Tukey in middle relief and late relief. But that Cubs lineup is just flat out stupid when you talk about Rizzo and Bryant and Schwarber and Boti and Baez. They just have a real – and Contreras. Please don't let me forget Contreras. Like, that lineup is really ridiculous. And then you start talking about a Lester and a Quintana and I'm forgetting about the other guy they traded for in the starting rotation. So you're talking about the pressure points for them in the postseason is their bullpen. Now you bring in, to me, a Hall of Famer in Kimbrel. It most definitely shrinks the gap. The Dodgers are playing lights out baseball right now. They're just flat out ridiculous with what they have happening with Bellinger and the rest of those guys. And Ryu, I think he has like a 1.58 ERA, I think, the last time I looked at it. And they're playing phenomenally. So that's going to be really, really interesting to see. You can't forget about those Brewers. You can't forget about those Braves as well, or those Phillies.
Yes.
But those two teams right there, I really think you have to talk about them as being the cream of the National League. And I definitely think they closed the gap with the Dodgers by making that move. It was a very smart deal, very shrewd. Theo Epstein still proving his worth, making moves and continuing to help his ball club, you know, have a chance to win another championship for the Cubs. I hate it, but it's a very shrewd move, and I definitely think it closes the gap with the Dodgers.
I don't know why the Braves could make that move for that extra year. I'm still tripping about that. I mean, I'm not sure why that was a hanging point, you know, because, again, maybe thinking his velocity is going to drop.
I don't know.
Unless they thought someone else was in the pipeline, that's been a huge issue. So, again, I'm still upset about that.
They do not.
That's neither here nor there. I apologize. Yeah, good. Yeah, they don't have anyone in the pipeline. That's what's great. Unless they're looking for, you know, they're going to, you know, get your boy Madison Bumgarner. You know, they're talking about that, you know, add to the starting rotation. So, and somebody's going to miraculously just become that dude. I don't know. It's and
Very frustrating. Anyway, go ahead. Rob, what you got on that, bro? Are you good, man? You got everything situated?
Yeah, I agree with JQ on this one. I don't know if it makes them better than the Dodgers, but I definitely think it puts them back in contention. And I think the thing you got to look at it from this perspective is the Cubs have 12 blown saves this season. They have one of the league's highest number of blown saves this year. And now with Kimbrel, that's 6 more wins for the Cubs this year. So that alone is going to help them. Like I said, they're one of the league leaders in blown saves. I think they maybe have the third most blown saves of any team in the major league so far this year with 12. Like I said, even if they would have reduced that in half, and I think if they had Kimbrel, you got to think that they probably win 9 or 10 of those games. But even if they reduce it in half, that's 6 losses. I mean, that's 6 wins that this team could have had. That would automatically put them in first place in that division and a little bit closer to the Dodgers. So I definitely think it puts them definitely a lot closer to the Dodgers. Not sure if it makes them better, but it definitely puts them in contention.
West Coast, what are your thoughts on that? I know you don't talk too much baseball, but your thoughts?
The only thing, you know, the Cubs, you know, they are ratings. They're up there with the ratings if the Cubs can get through and get in the World Series. For some reason, they're great TV, great for the ratings numbers with the national media. But I'm trying to think of what the Dodgers have to do. I think they've been in the last 3 World Series, and they haven't been able to win one. And there's a possibility that the Dodgers are going to get into another World Series. They got to win one of these. They can't be the bridesmaid on all these World Series that they're going to over the last 3 years. But the Cubs, I guess the Cubs are going after them. What I kind of don't see, I don't think the Cubs are going to beat them out to get into the World Series. It looks like the Dodgers are going to come be the National League representative in the World Series again this year.
We're going to check back with you in a couple months on that one, though, Curtis, because that's pretty powerful. Let's have some injuries. That Dodgers lineup is stupid, man. Same like the Cubs, man. So that – unless something happens, you know, obviously Scherzer, I mean, you know, Kershaw, Kershaw is doing his thing.
Sorry,
this is one of the situations,
yeah,
too,
man.
Yeah, I mean, they got a pretty dangerous squad, man. So, and as a Braves fan, I've seen them from close, man. So I know what type of, you know, the Braves aren't quite there yet. That's who you're chasing, man. So, again, unless something catastrophic happens, yeah, we'll see about that. We'll have to check back with you in a couple of months on that. I'm just saying. Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce is doing his thing too. That was a great trade for
that
them.
That Phillies lineup is stupid.
Yeah.
If you want the baseball, if you want the baseball ratings to go through the roof, Dodgers go to the World Series in the National League, and the Yankees go in the American League. And the ratings go through the roof.
Okay.
And Yankees win another one.
There you go. Oh, all right.
Right,
well,
Rob?
I think
absolutely.
We're going to wrap this up. We're going to wrap this up, man. Again, hey. No, hey, fellas, we appreciate you guys, man. It's been always great talking with you guys. Rob, wrap up the show as we always do.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports for the 12th Man. A little bit abbreviated OT portion tonight, but thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back on once again next Wednesday night, June 19th, the night before the NBA draft. We'll get you prepared for it. Also, we'll recap the NBA Finals. You definitely do not want to miss next Wednesday show on June 15th. It's going to be 11 p.m. in New York and Atlanta. It's going to be 10 p.m. in New Orleans and Chicago and Texas. That's going to be 9 p.m. for our friends in Denver and Salt Lake City. And, of course, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles. We're going to be on at 8 p.m. on next Wednesday night. on the 19th. So you definitely don't want to miss it. We got a lot of information to cover on next week, so you definitely don't want to miss the show. Good night, people.
Yeah, and again, everybody, thank you for listening to the OT portion, but I just need a couple of seconds that I need to have a mea culpa. I'm sorry, Minnesota Twins fans, and I'm going to be in Minneapolis this coming week. I'm sorry for talking about the Twins like that. The Twins are playing out of their mind in the AL Central, and I just don't see them coming back to the pack with Cleveland without any injuries to that starting lineup. With Cleveland and Carrasco, I really think the Twins are going to win the AL Central, and I poo-pooed them, and I'm man enough to get on air and say, you know what, I was wrong. So congratulations,
Twins
fans.
Yeah, I remember
earlier
in the season,
BS.
You said it was going to fall in the pack.
I said it, and I will own the fact that I don't think that's going to happen. So congratulations, Twins fans. You sat through a lot of bad years, and now you're starting to reap some of those rewards of getting those high picks. So kudos to you. And before I get out of here, like I said, I was at the Cubs and the Cardinals on Friday, and that game was a 1 o'clock Central start time on a Friday afternoon, and that game was packed. It was at 99% capacity for a 1 o'clock Friday start. That does not happen in a lot of cities. It doesn't happen in most cities. And, you know, I'm glad I got to see the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry up close, but I've got to give the Cubs fans, as much as I hate the Cubs, they're a division rival of my Reds, but I got to give that fan base a whole lot of credit. If you hadn't been there around Wrigley Field for that game, you would not have thought that was just game 54 in a 162-game season. That was electric and packed and full-on into that game from the Cubs fans and the Cardinals fans that made the trip up I-55 from St. Louis to Chicago. So, you know, I don't like those two teams, but they put on a show in terms of not necessarily always the game, even though it was a good game, but in terms of the fan base is showing up and having it packed and being knowledgeable about the game and being into it. I give them a ton of credit, man. It was an awesome experience.
Nice. There it is.
Yeah, that's
– man, what's up?
Yeah, there it is.
What's up with the women's team whooping on Thailand like that? 13-0. Man, that was crazy.
Ooh.
All right, that's the last thing. That was.
I hadn't turned that off. But did you guys see the American men national team stink it up? Just stunk it up. God, boy, our men. Okay, the women are just outshining the men. It's ridiculous how the women are outshining our men's national team. It's hard to even talk about.
That or the gap is really bad in the other country. That's just crazy. So I'm curious how that plays out. You hope that they don't get beat somewhere, because karma can be kind of challenging. They're celebrating every goal. I guess their last goal ever. That's kind of crazy. So, but
yeah, they were
fine. They kind of clicked and keep it still. Ugh, anyway. All right, gentlemen. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you guys next Wednesday. America, fun times, man. Get out of here. We'll talk to you soon, guys.
Yes, sir.
Later,
I'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Later. Yep. Later.